This evening, November 9th. Oh, what is the date today? Is it the 16th, 1976? I, Mary Giles, am speaking with Theodore Ted Mead. Ted, you are an artist. You have worked in many media and have had much educational experience. Your friends think of you as a very modest, patient, and gentle person. You are much beloved here in Westport. Your reputation goes far beyond Westport's boundaries. I hope that this evening we can learn much about you as a man, your work, and your philosophy of art and life. I know that you are married, have a very businesslike, capable, and attractive wife, and a son who is also an artist. It seems to me that this tape should start with you now and weave back and forth in time and your experience. Let's start with now. Your job, how long, what it involves.
Okay, I've been teaching for just about 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm now at SMU, Southeastern Massachusetts University. And I've seen the art area grow from a technological training, you might say, for textile designers through various stages to where it's now a rather large undertaking. We have about 450 students and 28 faculty and several areas of art, majors in art education and art history and painting and design and music. Mm-hmm. Music is coming mm-hmm. along. So that's where I am right now, and that's where I'm totally involved, you might say, yeah. In teaching.
Sounds terribly exciting. And it is the first thing of its kind in this whole section of the state. Actually, mm-hmm. this whole section of the country in a way, mm-hmm. isn't it?
Yes, I think it's not only helping the students, but I hope it's helping the community.
I'm sure it is. What SMU is bringing to
yeah,
this community.
I think it is doing
in
something.
Terms of people and performances and theater and dance and film and so on. It's simply wonderful. New opening, whole new world
yes.
to the people.
And right now we're very much involved. The art people are very much involved in getting ready to move into a new building, a fine arts building. We've been waiting patiently for this. And, we've been occupying borrowed space
mm-hmm.
here and there.
Now that's wonderful.
Our very own building with a gallery and excellent facilities in which all of us have been involved in the planning stages.
Mm-hmm. Have there been, so many places have had so many budget cuts. Have you been suffering from those?
Very much so,
mm-hmm.
yes. And we're all amazed that this building is coming out of the ground because we've been waiting for this for years and years. And, I think it was started about 2 years ago when the financial crunch hit us, and we were all just amazed
mm-hmm.
that it was an actuality.
Well, it was, I guess, because you were reaching people so definitely that they carried ahead with this,
you
don't
know,
you think?
I guess so. The building had been planned several years ago and was on a priority list. And at one time we were way down at the bottom, of course, and all of a sudden we appeared at the top.
Yeah, isn't that
I don't know what,
wonderful?
Don't know what caused
it. I think it was Ted. I think it was you.
I don't know. We were delighted, of course.
Just what does your job now involve?
I teach photography, and that's just about it.
You were an administrator.
Yes, I was department chairman for 15 years, and dean for 5 years, and then decided that I'd like to go back to just full-time teaching, and I've been very happy there.
Yes.
Made that decision.
Yes. All right, what about your colleagues? Are they happy about it too, you think? Or do they still miss you?
Some of the old-timers do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We have of course, administration has changed, the way of the governance of the university has changed considerably. And there is, I guess you could call it a much more democratic method of involving everyone in decision making.
Mm-hmm.
So, and when I was in administration, it was much more of a, I guess you could say, a benevolent dictatorship in a sense, where decisions are made and things happen very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes mistakes were made, but things got done
mm-hmm.
much more quickly. And now things are decided by committee, and everything gets dragged out through weeks and weeks of argument
mm-hmm.
and discussion and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And this appeals to a good number of the faculty, and it's frustrating at times, and I guess it's for the good.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of miss the old days
when you could just get it done.
Just decide something was right and do it, and then if you made a mistake, well, try it
again.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Tell me about a little bit. I know I can't ask to tell it for you to tell it all, but tell me something of your background, your own educational experience.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm teaching photography, and strangely enough, when I went through my undergraduate program at Pratt Institute, we had one photographer who was teaching. And I took his courses, which were limited, and I worked as an assistant.
Mm-hmm.
That's one way I got involved in photography. At that time, to get into photography as a major was next to impossible unless you went to the one institution which offered that sort of thing. That was Rochester Institute
mm-hmm.
of Technology. But
it just wasn't considered respectable, was
no,
it?
No, no. It was an adjunct. It was a course offered to designers at Pratt Institute, right, to help them in their solving their design problems.
Commercial, more or less.
Yeah.
They were thinking of it in terms of commercial.
Yeah,
art.
It wasn't considered by too many people at that time to be a fine arts expression.
Mm-hmm.
But now things have just changed so radically that almost every university offers photography courses. Getting back to Pratt Institute, I understand there are something like 14 full-time teachers of photography. So things have changed.
Yes. All right. You started out with this little course at Pratt.
Yes. And I actually started teaching photography when I arrived at old Bradford Durfee College. We had when I was interviewed for the position, I said, we have a dark room and a camera. And then larger, do you think you could do something with the students?
Uh-huh.
I said, sure.
Oh, I love your positive attitude. I really just love it.
So now we're on the verge of, when we get into our new facility, we may be offering a major in photography. We don't at this point.
Mm-hmm.
There are two of us teaching photography.
Mm-hmm. I certainly think you should. I mean, with your ability, I mean, and with photography in the position it is now in the world, it certainly deserves to be offered as a major, don't you think?
I guess so, yes.
I mean, after all, why should it be less a major than painting.
It probably should. Yes, it probably should. I think one area that we'll get into also is cinematography and video, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
That is, we deal with still photography,
mm-hmm.
of course.
Mm-hmm.
And we have at SMU an extensive facility dealing with video.
Mm-hmm.
Two large
That's very exciting, yeah.
That sort of thing. And nothing is being done with it. It just sits there. Waiting
yeah.
for someone to come along and
waiting for you all to come along.
But I think it's I don't think I'll get involved with that. I think it's all I can do to keep up.
Yes. I think so. If you spread yourself too thin.
Yeah.
All right. What else did you where else did you go to study? Where have you studied?
After,
what kinds of things?
Well, my education at Pratt Institute was interrupted for about 4 years by the war.
Mm-hmm.
Went into the service in the Coast Guard. And then I returned.
I'm just curious, how'd you feel about that?
About?
The Coast Guard, being in the Coast Guard.
I enjoyed it. I didn't like the idea of being in any kind of service, frankly.
No.
But I chose the Coast Guard because I thought it was on the humanitarian side.
Mm-hmm.
I found it was.
Mm-hmm.
And I had 4 good years there.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't bother me a bit.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have to
How
carry
old were
it
you?
Do
you remember
I was
it
about
all?
20.
Mm-hmm. Very young.
Didn't
yeah.
have to carry a gun. Was in life-saving enterprises, if you can call it that. And which suited me fine.
Yes.
I worked on fireboats in New York Harbor, which was very exciting.
That
we,
must have been.
We helped put out fires and ships coming in the harbor. So
mm.
that's what
Really, that was an experience.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Then?
Then I returned right practically the day I got out of the service. I went back to Pratt to finish my undergraduate.
Mm-hmm.
And before being in the service, I was bent on being a designer.
Mm-hmm.
And I was interested in advertising.
Mm-hmm.
And after 4 years in the service, I somewhere along the way became involved in teaching. I was made a teacher in the service.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoyed that.
Yeah.
So when I returned to Pratt, I opted for art education.
Mm-hmm.
And then my first teaching position was with the high school from which I graduated, which is an old New England academy in Winston, Connecticut.
Mm-hmm. I hadn't realized that.
That was 3 good years. It was a little bit strange working with my former teacher.
Mm-hmm.
As a teacher.
As a teacher, yes. Yes.
But it was rewarding.
What age groups did you teach?
The high school
high
level.
School.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then I decided I would like to do some college teaching. And went back to school, worked on my master's degree at Columbia University.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And through Columbia, located a position in Louisiana.
Yes, now you were, it was, what were you going to teach after you got your master's? Anything special? I mean, any, were you going to teach art in general? Or?
Art in general.
Mm-hmm.
I did not, on a graduate level, major in any particular phase
mm-hmm.
of art. I
mm-hmm.
majored in art education.
Yeah, art, mm-hmm.
So they needed someone at Louisiana Polytechnic Institute. And I thought that would be a great
I just great never job. Knew you'd worked in the South.
Oh, yes.
Because, you know, we did for 3 years. We were in the South in Georgia working.
But my wife was a Southerner.
Did you meet her there, or did you?
No, we met while I was in the service. We met in New Orleans,
mm-hmm.
and getting back toward New Orleans was kind of an interesting thing. But we were in northern Louisiana, and that's quite different. It's in the Bible Belt,
mm-hmm.
near the Arkansas border,
mm-hmm.
and we found. Life a bit on the dull side.
Mm-hmm. I would say so. I guess it's livened up considerably now. I think the South changed very much.
We tried to get to New Orleans as often as we could, but it was a long drive.
Mm-hmm.
So Louisiana's a huge state.
Yes.
And we'd have to wait for a...
If you were going the length of it anyway.
Yes. We had to wait for a 3-day weekend
mm-hmm.
to get to New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
So, but at any rate, spent 2 years there and decided to get back to New England.
Mm-hmm.
And, began to put out feelers and learned of a opening at Bradford Durfee College,
mm-hmm.
in Fall River.
Mm-hmm. That was right back in New England.
Yes. So that's how I landed in this area.
This beautiful place.
Yeah.
Yep.
So of course Bradford Durfee was absorbed with New Bedford Tech into Southeastern Massachusetts Technical Institute, and then it was changed to Southeastern Massachusetts University.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing? And that's where you are now.
Yeah.
That's a long kind of all these steps. Thank you for going through this, reviewing these things, but it's interesting how it, these are just physical things that you've gone through.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty soon we want to talk about your own work as an artist and your emotional growth and thinking and intellectual growth and thinking, as well as where you went and what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember any time when something startled you and you suddenly wakened to the fact that, my, I don't feel the way I did about this or that? Or was it all gradual?
I think it was gradual.
Mm-hmm.
I think so. It didn't take me long to decide on this staying with the teaching idea. I've always enjoyed teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And I, at times, have been a little bit upset by the pressures put on teachers on the college level,
mm-hmm.
to achieve so much in their particular profession. I think it's good in a way, but I think sometimes the pressures are...
So I mean, you had to write a book, and you have to do this, and you have to do that. If you don't, you don't get promoted.
That's
you don't
right.
get any salary increase or something.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Publisher.
If you're just a good teacher.
Publisher perish.
Mm-hmm.
Idea.
Yes.
I think there, in almost any university situation, there are actually two kinds of people, and each serves its own purpose. I think you have the outstanding performers,
mm-hmm.
who happen to know a little bit about teaching,
mm-hmm.
and they're very active in their profession.
Mm-hmm.
They're active exhibitors or researchers or
mm-hmm.
whatever. And
but teaching doesn't mean a lot.
Yeah. And then there are the dedicated teachers. The teachers I remember best, Pratt Institute, for instance, were not the outstanding artists, but the devoted teachers who
mm-hmm.
had time to deal with students and
mm-hmm.
knew their subject matter. And were not outstanding artists in
mm-hmm.
their own right.
Mm-hmm.
but knew the teaching profession, knew how to deal with students and get them directed in the proper way. And that's the road I took. I found that I'm very much interested in being active professionally, but not so much that I lose sight of what I'm doing with students. Right now we have a situation where I used to be a one-man department, but now we have a very capable woman teaching with us who is a very active exhibitor. So we have this good balance.
Yeah.
We get along fine. There's absolutely no professional jealousy involved. It works out.
Marvelous. That's wonderful. Oh, I didn't. Yeah, I forgot to push the button again. That sounds wonderful that you managed to complement each other this way. You have a really good working department right there, the two of you.
I think so, yes. Mm-hmm. It works out very well. And one thing I've been very much interested in doing in this photography area is expanding the offerings so that biology majors, history majors, whoever, engineers, who are interested can take a course and not feel frightened by the idea that it's an art course.
Mm-hmm.
And these students come in and work side by side with art students. And I think assimilate, absorb a good deal of what the art student is doing in the aesthetic areas without their really knowing.
Yes.
What is going on?
Yes, I would think particularly the biology students would have a wonderful experience.
They do. Mm-hmm. Many of them in the sciences come in to study photography because they feel they will need it in their particular field.
Mm-hmm.
And along with this is an opening of their eyes, you might say,
mm-hmm.
to things they've never really seen before. Mm-hmm. They get behind the camera and they suddenly begin to see things they've never realized existed.
Yes.
And I find this very rewarding, and I treat the art student and the non-art student exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
And we start basically with the craft of photography.
Yes.
And we get into the aesthetics of photography in gradual steps.
Mm-hmm.
And since I've been dealing with these non-art students, I'm amazed year after year how many of these students come along and they outperform, in many cases, the art students.
Yeah. That's the thing I found.
Clear vision.
Yes.
They're not fettered, their vision isn't fettered by rules of composition and so on. It's a very honest, straightforward approach.
They just haven't had a bad education beforehand.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They don't come with preconceptions.
That's right.
Or good. Yes. That was one of the things that was so joyful to me when students that I had, if you get a fresh person, you can somehow do something, have an awful lot of fun with their development.
Yes.
I'm thinking here a minute. I want to hear about last summer's experience.
Helen and I combined business with pleasure, you might say.
Yes.
Attended a conference, a seminar, I guess you could call it, in California, which involved 6 outstanding photographers working with 60 people.
Mm-hmm.
And it was almost like a retreat. This was held at Asilomar.
Where is that?
That's just south of San Francisco. It's mm-hmm. on the coast.
Wonderful place, like Marin County or something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Monterey Peninsula.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Point Lobos in that area.
Mm-hmm.
Fascinating
mm-hmm.
place. And the outstanding person there, of course, was Ansel Adams.
Mm-hmm.
And we all arrived. It was not a working seminar or typical photography workshop. That is, we didn't go into the dark room and turn out things. We all had portfolios.
Mm-hmm.
And we spent 6...
You brought your portfolio with you.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And we spent... these people came from all over the country.
Mm-hmm.
And we spent 6 solid days with these people discussing our portfolios and listening to these people, getting their reactions to our work.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a...
It must have been thrilling.
Oh, it was. An interesting variety of professionals there. Ansel Adams, of course, the straight photographer.
Mm-hmm.
And then a new man in the field by the name of Bill Owens, who made a tremendous hit with a recent book of his called Suburbia. It's a documentary.
Mm-hmm.
Almost a journalistic approach, but a cut above the usual photojournalism.
Where, I wonder where he worked? Where had he gotten his background for doing this? It sounds unusual.
He is on a small suburban paper in California,
mm-hmm.
just outside of San Francisco.
Did you find that a good many of the people were Californians?
Those attending?
Mm-hmm.
No.
No.
No, maybe 10 or 15%. The rest
mm-hmm.
of them were from all over the country.
Mm-hmm.
And we also worked with Arnold Newman, the portrait photographer.
Mm-hmm.
And then a very offbeat, progressive photographer by the name of Heineken. And a young lady who teaches in California, Ellen Land Weber, who does experiments with photographic machinery, doesn't always work with the camera as such. She works with photographic reproduction machines, the 3M process, and so on. So it was a...
I don't know about it, and I might go on and ask you about it, but I don't think our listeners would
no.
get too much from it. You know, I mean, I don't think they
no.
would know enough to go and really appreciate it. So, sounds fascinating, and sometimes...
But at any rate, it was a great variety of approaches. Interesting people.
Well, now, what did you, when you're making your own photographs, when you made these beautiful things in the book, what are you thinking about? What are your emphases? You're not a portrait photographer exactly, and yet your portraits to me are wonderful. What are you, and your landscapes are? Your light is, what are you focusing on, or are you focusing that?
Before this bicentennial project came up, I devoted most of my energies to, I guess you could call it landscape
mm-hmm.
work, straight photography.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always been fascinated by the dunes and the sea.
Mm-hmm.
And beautiful Westport.
Yes. Well, you have the perfect place to work.
Yeah. And then when this bicycle...